If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air, ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed or wind to blow. Reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed nor wind to blow. You who choose to lead must follow, but if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. I'm Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we thank you for tuning in tonight right here where we're streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. And remember, Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network. They put on shows all the time, like 24/7. They've got two streams going all the time, and, well, they deserve your support. So head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them some love. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests: Jim Fetzer, Thomas Wortman, Philip Ferruccio, Frank Cordero, and Richard Flamer. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Madison, Wisconsin, in Cleveland, Ohio, in San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico, and wherever you are. And now my recommended list for March 14th. Recommended: Art Bell with Jim Mars, Alien Agenda, YouTube. Common dreams. We did it. The Senate just voted to end U.S. support for brutal Saudi-led war in Yemen. Win without war. Information clearinghouse. More power to you, Miss Omar. Tell me who you cannot criticize, and I will tell you who is your master. Saying anything negative about Israel has long been the third rail of U.S. politics and media. Israel is our nation's most sacred cow. Any questioning of its behavior brings furious charges of anti-Semitism and professional oblivion. I keep in my bookcase a cautionary book, They Dared Speak Out, written by U.S. senators and congressmen who lost their positions after rebuking Israel for its mistreatment of Palestinians or daring to suggest that Israel had far too much influence in the U.S. Journalists learn this first commandment very early. Criticize or even question Israel at your peril. Until recently, we journalists were not even allowed to write there was an Israel lobby. It was widely considered Washington's most powerful lobby group, but until lately, mentioning its name was seriously verboten. More power to you, Miss Omar. Information Clearinghouse. Recommended, the Jimmy Dore Show, D-O-R-E, YouTube. Recommended, The Men Who Killed Kennedy. It's a series on YouTube. Recommended, Jim Fetzer, 9/11, What Planes? YouTube. YouTube, granddaughter of Sheriff Who Saw Roswell Debris. Open Minds TV YouTube channel. In the Now on YouTube, Can We Rid the Ocean of Plastic? Also, School Strike for Climate, Save the World by Changing the Rules. Listen to Greta Thunberg's TED Talk from Stockholm. Common Dreams, How to Hide an Empire. Also on Common Dreams, The Infiltrators, How Undocumented Activists Snuck into Immigration Jail to Fight Deportations.
Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And Phil is very popular all around the internet. He posts on many different sites, and his columns are always interesting. So just look for him. Google Philip Ferrugio. That's F-A-R-R-U-G-G-I-O. And now, here is Philip Ferrugio with It's the Empire, Stupid.
All right. Good evening, Working Stiffs. Okay, give me some truth. John Lennon, well, let me read the lyrics to you. John Lennon, the Plastic Ono Band. I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short-haired, yellow-bellied, son of Tricky Dickie's gonna Mother Hubbard soft-soak me with just a pocket full of hopes. Money for dope, money for rope. John Lennon wrote that song in 1971, and its value as message resonates even better today. His lyrics refer to some as uptight, short-sighted, I think he might have meant short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocritics. Now, he may have even meant that by talking about the media who critique the news. Anyway, how sad it is that almost 50 years have passed and our A, mainstream media, B, politicians, and C, corporate consumer machine are still at it. They are equal opportunity bullshit artists, undertaking the task of distorting the truth about what is affecting our society. Of course, behind the Oz curtain stand the wizards who control how we working stiffs should think, vote, and shop. There was a cogent scene from Robert De Niro's 2006 film, The Good Shepherd. In the film, Matt Damon plays a CIA official who visits a mafia leader, played by Joe Pesci, asking for some covert help. At the end of their visit, Pesci says, and I am paraphrasing, "Let me ask you a question. Every group has something they are known for. You know, the blacks have their music, We Italians have the family. What do you people have? Damon looks at him and answers, we have America, and you're all just visitors. The brainwashing has been going on for so long, and it's tough for minds to be deprogrammed through basic human discourse. Case in point, this writer has written consistently about my idea for a 50% flat surtax on any income over and above $1 million a year. Now, the first million would be taxed at the regular rate of around 37% before deductions and would have no bearing on the surtax. When I discussed the plan with many working stiffs out there, the overwhelming majority of them tell me, and I quote, oh, that's too much. Why not start at 5 or 10 million? There you have it. The American dream is alive and well in the psyche of our fellows. A good analogy to remember regarding the mainstream news outlets, electronic and print, is this. You will know when you hear of a good, viable idea when the mainstream media news rarely or hardly ever covers it. Ditto for our sacred elected officials. As far as our great military-industrial empire, stop believing the lies that are filtered out by both the Pentagon and, of course, the corporate world. Commercials as to our brave military that keeps us, quote, free, unquote, or commercials about how the for-profit healthcare industry cares about your well-being, please mute that boob tube. Folks, there is no truth in advertising. Finally, March 19th will be the 16th anniversary of one of the most heinous acts by our government, right up there, most assuredly, with 9/11. In both cases, elements within the inner circles of the Bush-Cheney cabal must have skewed all that they could to arrive at what transpired. The sacrifice of tens of thousands in New York City and environs, what with all the after effects of the towers coming down, and perhaps millions of Iraqi civilians, along with the destruction of one of the most modern countries in the Middle East, should give any decent person the desire, no, actually the drive for truth. Those two actions by covert actors is why there is such a refugee crisis in Europe. It's also why there even is an ISIL, or whatever our government calls those religious fanatics. If not for U.S. imperialist, and that's a word that's not used nowadays, imperialist, actions in the Middle East, there would be maybe a few thousand fanatics in all those countries. John Lennon was spot on in 1971. Without the mass of working stiffs demanding just that, truth, our nation will continue to go down that rabbit hole. Thank you.
Now it's time for Revolution College, setting the stage for what's next, meeting every Thursday evening in the basement of the abandoned humanities building. The Israel lobby is buying off of nearly every senior politician in the United States, facilitated by our system of legalized bribery, is not an anti-Semitic trope. It is a fact. The lobby's campaign of vicious character assassination, smearing and blacklisting against those who defend Palestinian rights, including the Jewish historian Norman Finkelstein and university students, many of them Jewish, and organizations such as Students for Justice in Palestine, is not an anti-Semitic trope. It is a fact. 24 state governments' passage of Israel lobby-backed legislation requiring their workers and contractors under threat of dismissal to sign a pro-Israel oath and promise not to support the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is not an anti-Semitic trope, it is a fact. The shameless decision in 2014 by all 100 U.S. senators, including Bernie Sanders, to pass a Soviet-style plebiscite proposed by the Israel lobby to affirm Israel's right to defend itself during the 51 days it bombed and shelled homes, water treatment plants, power stations, hospitals, and UN schools in Gaza, killing 2,251 Palestinians, including 551 children, is not an anti-Semitic trope. It is a fact. The U.S. refusal, including in the United States, United Nations, and other international bodies to criticize Israel's apartheid state and routine violation of international law is not an anti-Semitic trope, it is a fact. The well-funded campaigns by the Israel lobby, which works closely with Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs to discredit any American politician or academic who even slightly deviates from Israeli policy, is not an anti-Semitic trope, it is a fact. The massive interference in our internal affairs by Israel in the Israel lobby, far exceeding that of any other country, including Russia or China, is not an anti-Semitic trope, it is a fact. Israel's lackeys in the political class, along with the bankrupt courtiers in the U.S. press, including former American Israel Public Affairs Committee APAC employee Wolf Blitzer, are making a serious mistake, however, and refusing to acknowledge Israel's outsized, transparent, and often illegal meddling in the American political system and Israel's brutal oppression of Palestinians. It is too obvious and too egregious to hide. The longer the ruling elites ignore this reality and censor it and attack those such as Representative Ilhan Omar, who have the temerity to name this interference and the human rights abuses perpetrated by Israel, the more it gives credence to the racist, bigots, conspiracy theorists, and white hate groups, many rooted in the Christian right, who are the real anti-Semites. Israel and its lobby, rather than protecting Israel and Jews, are steadily nullifying their moral and ultimately political force. The interference by Israel in the American political system is amply documented, including in the Al Jazeera four-part series, The Lobby, which Israel and its supporters managed to block from being broadcast. In the film, a pirated copy of which can be watched on the website Electronic Intifada, the leaders of the Israel lobby are repeatedly captured on a reporter's hidden camera, explaining how they, backed by the intelligence services within Israel, attack and silence American critics and use huge cash donations to control the American electoral process and political system. The Israel lobby, lacking any plausible deniability, has remained stunningly silent about the film. The corporate press, in the face of pressure by the lobby, has ignored the documentary. The series exposes the various machinations of the Israel lobby. Revolution College, setting the stage for what's next, meeting every Thursday evening in the basement of the abandoned humanities building.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Everybody's talking about bagism, shagism, dragism, madism, rageism, tagism, this-ism, that-ism, myism. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Everybody talk about ministers, sinisters, banisters, and canisters, bishops, and rabbis, and popeyes, and bye-bye, and bye-bye. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Let me tell you now, everybody talking about revolution, evolution, masturbation, flagellation, regulation, integration, meditation, the United Nations, congratulations. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Coming up in our next half hour, we will hear from Frank Cordero in Des Moines and Richard Flamer in Chiapas, Mexico. Please stay tuned to Revolution Radio, the listener-sponsored alternative to the lies presented elsewhere day in and day out. And remember, if you head to freedomslips.com, make a donation. Tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. Very proud to be a part of the Revolution Radio Network. We've been here for several years now. And, you know, we've been doing this show going back to 2011, February 3rd, 2011. Thank you.
Some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we bring you a sample of the Target and Walmart St. Patrick's Day Card Special Collection, a card designed with you in mind.
From Irish-American journalist Jimmy Breslin, blood from the body of a baby bombed to death in Baghdad, blood by the pint, running onto the street as fast as a swift river, has magic in its pure infant cells. Of course, you cannot scrub the street clean because the blood from the baby already has covered the street and is in the air. As they get off at Camp David, Bush's hand brushes against baby blood on the plane, as does his wife's. At this hour in London, Blair arises in the middle of his long night and goes to the bathroom to try and wash this blood off. He couldn't do it before he went to bed. In Washington, Rumsfeld stares at the red splotches on both his hands, and Colin Powell calls out that there must be something wrong with the soap because it does not get the blood off his hands. At Camp David, Bush notices blood on his right hand, and he goes to the bathroom to wash it off, and he holds his hand under the water and rubs them with a bar of soap, and then puts them under the water, and he takes them out and holds them out to dry with a towel. He glances at his hands and sees the blood of the dead baby is bright on his fingers. He mutters and washes his hands again. He will do it again. Again this year, and next year, and through all the years, because the blood remains forever on the hands. Jimmy Breslin.
The Target and Walmart St. Patrick's Day Card Special Collection, a card designed with you in mind. Our next guest on the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero, as always, joins us each week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker in Des Moines, Iowa. And Chuck visited with Frank earlier, and we're going to hear that conversation right now.
Hello, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, I was just in my room. I'm a few people are starting to come who are going to join us this weekend. They have a big weekend in Des Moines. It's the Midwest Catholic Worker Resistance, Faith and Resistance Retreat. Our focus will be the Drone Command Center. I think I've spoken about this before.
Yes, you have.
We have Friday night, we're going to have Sister Carol Gilbert, Sister Artist Platy, Dominican Sisters, who for years were at Jonah House. They're now at the Washington, D.C. Catholic Worker, Plowshares Activist. They've had a number of years in jail. They're going to be the folks who are going to speak on Friday night. And then tomorrow, Saturday, we've got we've got three of the people who were valve turner offers, oil pipeline oil valve turners. These folks are looking at the felony charges, four Catholic workers. Three of them will be with us to share about their experiences. And then we've got a Skype with four of the seven Catholic workers who are a part of the Kings Bay Plowshares. So that's happening. Then that night we'll have Kathy Kelly speaking on the following day, Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. We're all going to head out to the site. It's the Des Moines local drone command center. We have an armed drone command center here, and we'll do some kind of a protest that will end with trespass. So I'm kind of like getting really keyed up to having about 50 folks. We'll be part of this retreat, and we'll end up with doing a strong witness at the site. So that's what I go on. I just got out. I had to get out of the room because as soon as I knew it was you, and I was talking to Mike Sprong and Jerry Ebner. These guys are Catholic workers, one from South Dakota, the other one from Omaha. Old dear friends. They're here in my room, and I go, oh, it's Chuck. I got to talk. I got to do my 5 minutes.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time. Sounds like
a riveting show.
Hey, your vigil retreat. It sounds like a wonderful thing, and I do hope it goes well.
Thank you. We'll be celebrating that. You know, really, one of the main pillars of what the Catholic Church are these days. Not only do we serve the poor, we speak the truth to the powers that be at a personal level.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Okay, Jack. God bless.
Right. God bless.
Thank you for calling. Thanks. All right. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Our next guest of the show is Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer is also a Catholic worker. He's affiliated with the Des Moines Catholic Worker, but he is in Chiapas, Mexico. He's in San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico. And Chuck also visited with Richard earlier, and we're going to hear the conversation right now between Richard Flamer in Chiapas, Mexico, and Chuck Gregory in Fort Lauderdale.
Hello, Richard. It's Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Want to record this?
If you like. You think that's better?
Yeah. We're having troubles here again with the power.
Okay. Then, yeah, let's go ahead and record right now.
Okay.
Start whenever you're ready.
Okay. The power's been going on and off. They're working on the transformer, supposedly, but we'll see what that means.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. I've got a German kid. He's German, actually, who's working in my shop, and it's driving him nuts. But our place is really international. You know, I've got a woman staying here from Guatemala who's an ex-nun, and she and Araceli just took off for a class in making handbags out of recycled plastic. And then Michael Murphy, my friend from Omaha, he's here and playing music, and he's got flutes that he brought with him, and so he's going to do a little seminar for the kids at one of the schools.
Oh, how cool!
Teach them how to play a basic flute, and then he's going to do a concert there. So we got lots of guests. There's always folks coming through, and which is just fine with me. The only problem is when they all come at once.
Yeah. Right. Well.
We just gotta find space to move them, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one's called lynching. They call it lynching mostly. It's not with a noose and a tall tree. It involves both men and women in a crowd who catch somebody in a criminal act, or there's a rumor that a crime has been committed and a certain person is responsible for it. Here in Chiapas last week, a woman and her boyfriend got caught in the act of robbing a house. The man fled. The indigenous woman was caught, tied to a pole, where her long hair was cut off and cast into the street. She remained tied to the pole for several hours, where she was castigated by people in the village, spit on, and eventually released. For a young indigenous woman in Chiapas, aside from her traditional dress, her long hair is her trousseau. It's often the only thing she can bring to a marriage. For this young woman, it was as severe an insult as could be found. She was fortunate. A few weeks back, a young man was caught breaking into a car, purportedly to rob it. He was kicked, beaten, and stomped by a crowd of neighbors and nearly died. He was saved by the local police, though several of the police were attacked in the process. What no one realized in the mob was that the car the young man was breaking into was his brother's. That is, the brother had called the young man to help him get his keys, which had been locked inside earlier in the day. Another man in Colima was attacked after he was found trying to molest a young girl. He was doused with gasoline, a tire over his arms, and set afire. The police were too late to save his life. What all these events have in common is this mob mentality. The mob mentality knows no boundaries. It would probably be not so virulent if policing was effective. With the current system of justice, very few are convicted and sent to prison if the perpetrator has money. That is, there's a concept called fuero, F-U-E-R-O, or out. The fuero is used by a person charged with a crime, rather like bail to get out of jail. The thing is, once someone is out of jail, the normal route of the folks with money is to negotiate, stall, and if necessary, flee the jurisdiction. In some cases, people have been known to delay a trial for 3 to 5 years and reach the statute of limitations so the case gets thrown out of court. So basically, only the poor are in jail. In some cases, some of the drug dealers who've been linked to a murder, a shootout, or a big sale of dope have gotten out on a fuero and been arrested 2 or 3 more times, each time paying an attorney to file for fuero, getting out again and disappearing. With the new president, Lopez Obrador, new laws have been enacted to halt the fuero for certain grave crimes. The other part of fuero is the concept that an elected serving official cannot be charged with a crime as long as he or she is in office. Jaime Sabines was a governor of Chiapas when an earthquake occurred. The damage was severe enough that the Red Cross was called in to help. Some $60 million was brought into the state for earthquake repair. Sabines stole half of it, but could not be charged until he left office. When he was ready to leave office, he had moved the money all over the world and disappeared. His attorneys negotiated with the federal government. He paid half of the money back and never served a day in jail. He's back in Chiapas and starting to get involved in politics again. This time he has the money, almost $15 million, and is trying to become a candidate for a federal level position. 3 years back, 43 students from a teacher's college disappeared in Ayotzinapa. No one has found their bodies. Well, that's not exactly true. Enough bone was found in a nearby body drop to identify 2 of the students via DNA testing. The federal government, after their investigation, determined that a local alcalde or mayor was responsible for ordering his police to get rid of the students because they were going, as a group, to demonstrate against this government. The alcalde and his wife had been robbing money for years from the government funds sent from Mexico City. And the students wanted to know where the money went. According to federal investigators, the local police contacted members of the local cartel to help them disappear or execute the 43. Bodies were not found. According to the police, the bodies had been burned, ashes scattered in the body dump. The feds at that point abandoned their investigation. Subsequent investigations showed that the burning of that many bodies would have taken a couple of days. Not possible. Gradually, further investigations suggested that soldiers from the local military base had been involved. A group of investigators from the Organization of American States asked to interview soldiers from the base, but were denied, which points to a larger problem in that soldiers come under a military justice system and cannot be tried under civilian rule. The parents of the 43 students are continuing to demonstrate for a real investigation that would include military involvement. Under the new presidency of López Obrador, a new committee has been formed to reinvestigate the case again. As of this date, the police force, the mayor and his wife, plus various criminals from the cartel are serving sentences that vary from 5 years to 18, yet no one knows where the bodies lie. Over the last six-year term of the former presidency, 19 journalists were killed or disappeared. The usual response was to round up the usual suspects. So far, only one of the killings has been solved. The biggest problem is that often the police might find the shooter, but not the one who ordered the shooting. Three of those killings occurred in Veracruz under the rule of Governor Duarte, Jose Duarte. Duarte is out on bail after being charged with fraud, taking over $2 billion while serving his six-year term. He and his wife are under house arrest, but the rumors are that he ordered the deaths of the three reporters who had been reporting on his malfeasance. There are currently eight ex-governors either jailed, awaiting sentencing, or charged with fraud of the 32 states of Mexico. With the Fuero, none could be charged while they were serving in office, so they had time to hide their misdeeds until they left office. Two, along with the eight above, are currently holding a seat in the federal Senate. They have a new Fuero, so they cannot be charged until they leave office. In other words, 12 years. Is it any wonder that people take justice into their own hands? Yet it troubles me deeply. The entire country is a patchwork of justice. On the ejidos, or Indian lands, a local jurisdiction judges all crimes committed on their lands. In most, you can beat your wife and it's not a crime unless you kill her. Local municipalities are ruled by dictatorial alcaldes or mayors unless the feds step in, usually after a series of killings related to the cartels. In Mexico City, the local merchants are faced with a daily extortion from gangs. In some cases, the extortion exceeds the rent that merchants must pay. In public transport, the buses, robberies common with two folks entering the bus while one covers the driver, the other collects cell phones and money. They ride the bus until they get to their stop where a third person picks them up by a motorcycle or a car. And then there are cases of a truck or train accident. In northern Mexico, on average of three trains a month over the last year, filled with electric domestic items like stoves, TVs, microwaves, three of those trains a month have been derailed. Once the train is on its side or inoperable, up to 200 people rush out and start dragging away what they can carry. Most of the robberies are accomplished near small towns and directed by cartel members. In some cases, the police have arrived only to try and resist 200 people with five or six local police. A dozen train employees have been killed over the last year. The rapine is not limited to trains. Near our little farm this year, three tractor trailers went off the road and spilled their loads. The first was filled with sacks of concrete. The people in our community rushed down to the site and filled buckets with loose cement. The second was a truck loaded with cases of beer. 300 people turned out for the party to pick up loose cans. The final one was truck loaded with Pepsi, which again was well attended. Though I deplore the actions, I can understand the exigency of the poor. The issue for me is how to explore the growing of conscience. That is, how to get the people involved to train their children that violence only begets more violence. That somehow we have to work toward a world where we're all brothers and sisters. And I haven't figured out how to do that yet, which makes me woefully inadequate. That's it for today.
Richard, that was fascinating, as always. I have this amazing picture in my mind of these people partying with the beer and the Pepsi that got spilled.
Yeah.
That's hey, I'd probably do that myself. You know, I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. It was already wasted, you know, basically.
Yeah.
They're just resting from the trash.
Yeah. I don't have the problems with that. What I have problems with are like the lynching, you know, the throwing.
Oh, man,
that is. The problem is it's a slippery slope there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. So how are you doing? You doing all right?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you doing all right? You're doing okay there?
Yeah, we're doing well. Yeah, we've earlier this month, we had a big street festival in my neighborhood. I was involved in the planning of it for several months, and it finally came together on the 2nd of March. And it was the 13th Street Craft Beer and Wine Festival with Car Show, and I think we must have had more than 2,000 people show up. It was really amazing. Big success.
last month, we had a car show in San Cristobal, and there were 14 cars.
Yeah.
But there was a really nice 27 Ford. And it was mostly VWs in various forms.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, some interesting ones. And then not a lot of people have car share.
Yeah, right. Of course.
And who can collect them? You know, the ones that have them keep working them. But
sure.
Yeah.
They just kind of keep making them work, no matter how old they are, right?
Yeah, actually, I have a good friend who's a mechanic here, and he can rebuild these Nissan, the ones they use for taxis here.
Yeah.
He can rebuild the motors, the four-cylinder motors, in a day, and charges $800 start to finish.
Yeah.
And that's why they keep on working. And,
sure.
You know, they're it's life. Anyway, gotta go. Thanks for the interview.
Thank you so much, Richard. I always look forward to talking to you, and, you didn't disappoint.
Thanks, Chuck. We'll see you. Talk to you next month.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. Well, she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I gotta get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. Well, she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I gotta get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. My baby, she wrote me a letter.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exo Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Jim Fetzer. Dr. Jim Fetzer is coming to us from Madison, Wisconsin. He's a reporter, a radio show host. You can see his blog at jamesfetzer.org. He's a retired university professor. And now from Madison, Wisconsin, Jim Fetzer.
Mike, Chuck, in what must be the most significant political development in the last 50 years, a very petite, diminutive young woman who's Muslim, Ilhan Omar, elected to the House from Minnesota, was accused of anti-Semitism for speaking out against politicians who give their allegiance to Israel over the United States. She is 100% correct. It's created a huge controversy for the Democrats, because there is a major split between those who believe she has the right to speak out in criticism of the policies and actions of the government of Israel, and those who are so deferential, they're on the payroll, that they don't want her to have the right to speak. So we have progressive defending Omar. The House was originally going to issue a vote condemning anti-Semitism and identifying her by name, but as she herself has tweeted, being opposed to Netanyahu and the occupation is not the same as being anti-Semitic. There's a brilliant article on the growing anti-Semitism scam by Phil Giraldi. The key point being this: an anti-Semite used to mean a man who hated Jews. Now it means a man who is hated by Jews. That's very much the heart of the matter. It has to be understood that the distinction between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism is profound. To be anti-Semitic is to discount or disvalue a human being or their opinions on the grounds of their religious orientation or genetic legacy, particularly when they are Jewish. Anti-Zionism is a completely different matter and is opposition to a view rooted in a dubious theology that professes or proclaims the superiority of Jews over all other species, where in effect, the other species only exist to serve the Jews, and where the Jews are entitled to the lands of Palestine on the basis of highly disputed historical interpretations of text. Now, we all know the greatest atrocities of human history have been committed in the name of religion. Theological beliefs as articles of faith are not testable or falsifiable. Therefore, they can be held with complete conviction, with 100% certainty, with no risk whatsoever of being shown to be wrong. You cannot test claims about a transcendent entity, a God who exists beyond space-time, because the reach of science is restricted to events within space-time, to observation, measurement, and experiment, and inferences based upon it, using the principle of inference to the best explanation, where we have to acknowledge that any event that occurs during the history of the world could be interpreted as consistent with God's will, no matter what. And there are fascinating theological disputes about what's known as the problem of evil. If God is all powerful, if God is all good, if God is all knowing, how can he have created a world in which there's so much pain and suffering, misery, wars, murder, pestilence, where typically theologians will argue that that is because God gave man free will, the freedom to choose between good and evil for himself. And of course, on many accounts, by choosing good, they earn the right to enter heaven. By choosing evil, they were maybe consigned to hell. But either way, we don't have access to evidence that would determine either not only the existence or the non-existence of God, but the existence or non-existence of heaven or hell. What we do know is there are good Muslims and bad Muslims, good Christians and bad Christians, good Jews and bad Jews. Bad Muslims would include the Wahhabis, who behead the infidels and commit all sorts of atrocities, treat women essentially as sex slaves and the like. They are rather well known and feared in the Middle East for their hateful acts, their barbaric acts. And of course, you know, the Crusades conducted by the Christians in the Middle Ages were epic and horrific. So, you know, there's no end of good and bad on both sides. When it comes to Zionism, it's very important to understand the belief that the Jews are the chosen people, the people chosen of God, the belief that they are entitled to the promised land, which is in Palestine, and the derivative of a disputed text in Leviticus, which tends to tie a whole network of beliefs together, that they cannot return to the promised land until they're minus 6 million who have been consumed in the flames, where even that allusion to 6 million is disputed because there was no word in the original Hebrew for 6 million. Thus, we have claims going back as early as 1837 to 6 million Jews being in a fear of loss of their lives or otherwise in jeopardy, up to the time of the Nuremberg tribunals, none of which has any empirical or scientific support. For example, some in this audience may be dumbfounded, astonished to learn that while the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping copious documents and records on everyone in all the German camps in terms of their age, their sex, their race, their ethnicity, their religion, and their cause of death, when they did a recalibration of the total in 1993, from all causes they determined the actual number had died was 296,081, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber. Now, Judaism is very divided between the Torah Jews and the Talmudic Jews, where the Torah Jews believe in the first five books of the Old Testament The Talmudic believe in beliefs like the following. If a Jew finds an object lost by a goy, a non-Jew, it does not have to be returned. If a Jew murders a goy, a non-Jew, there will be no death penalty. What a Jew steals from a goy, he may keep. Jews may use subterfuges to circumvent a goy or non-Jew. All children of goyim or non-Jews are animals. The goyim are not humans. They are beasts. If you eat with a goy, it is the same as eating with a dog. Even the best of the goyim should all be killed. Now, this is, of course, fairly stunning stuff. Interestingly, perhaps the greatest terrorist threat the world has ever known was the Samson option, on which Seymour Hersh has published major articles in a book, where the master plan was conceived to punish the world if Israel were to be going down, so it would take the rest of the world with it. The scheme, which appears to have been partially carried out, was to plant nuclear devices in Israeli embassies of the great nations of the world, which could be used as the ultimate form of extortion were the future of Israel ever in doubt. While it has been promoted as guarding against another Holocaust, what we know now about World War II puts the lie to that defense. My best sources have informed me that modern technology has enabled those devices to be identified and neutralized, which is good for the world, because we should not doubt the leaders of Israel would do it should they feel so compelled. The arrogance of Talmudic Jews has come through in various statements by Ariel Sharon, for example. Everybody has to move, run, and grab as many Palestinian hilltops as they can to enlarge the Jewish settlements, because everything we take now will stay ours. Everything we don't grab will go to them. In November 1998, Israel may have the right to put others on trial, but certainly no one has the right to put the Jewish people in the state of Israel on trial. He said that as prime minister on 25 March 2001, and a month later, after 9/11, I want to tell you something very clearly. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it. What this diminutive girl, she might stand 5'2 and weigh all of 100 pounds, has done is to create a national debate about the role of Israel through its master lobby, AIPAC, which has controlled the United States for decade upon decade. This is a debate, a public discussion that is long overdue, and we have this young woman to thank for it. This is good for the country. This is good for the world, and ultimately may make a very great, significant difference to the ability of the United States to survive and flourish into the future.
Our next guest to the show is Thomas Wertmann. Thomas Wertmann is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And Thomas joins us each month from Cleveland, Ohio. And now we're going to attempt to contact Thomas Wertmann, the director of Ohio MUFON in Cleveland.
Well, I spoke to Thomas earlier. Hello, Thomas. There you are.
Yes,
all right.
I'm here.
It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Oh, great. This month, I wanted to go over a little bit of a case I did recently. And people are out there getting really hungry for UFO information again. Maybe some of it's been prompted by the recent series Project Blue Book, which was on history. And also, it's just not the people observing things in the sky. It's people sitting down and looking at Google Earth, looking at Earth cams, and analyzing videos that they see for unusual objects. And recently, right after last show, I got one of my chief field investigators called me up and said, hey, a report came in, and it's got a video with it. And I thought, oh, I'll give you this one, because you like stuff with videos in it. And I said, sure. So he assigned it to me, and I didn't think a whole lot about it. And the next day, I started getting emails from our upper echelon. And they said, who's working this case in Ohio? Because it was taken from a live cam. someplace around the Cleveland area, and they said it looks like a missile being launched. And I said, well, I told our international director, I happen to be the one that's working the case myself because it's up in my region. And he goes, really? He says, well, you know, there's this video that's the people post online on YouTube and other places. It's starting to go viral like in 24 hours. I'm like, really? I hate to admit to him. I didn't look at it yet. So I pulled the video up and looked at it. And it was interesting. It was obviously a live cam someplace along the Cuyahoga River, which is close to Lake Erie. I recognized a number of the landmarks in the background. And in the video, you could see an object going vertically. And there were a couple bridges in the background. You could see them going, the object going kind of vertically by one of the bridges. And then it made a horizontal path at a high rate of speed. Moving out of sight. In the video, when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And I looked down below it, it happened to be a local television station's live cam. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are they running a live camera down by lake? It's being handheld or something like that? Well, I started doing a lot of the normal analysis steps I do. And one of the things I did is I did some analysis on the video and found out that the video came from an iPhone, not a live cam. I'm like, wait a minute, somebody possibly took a picture or video off of a TV screen, that your TV screen or computer, that they're watching this live cam and they saw something interesting. And they probably went back and replayed it. And you could also see this camera following the object as it went across the sky and even zooming in. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if that's a true live cam, most of those are fixed and they don't do anything other than just basically point in a single direction. So I thought, well, okay, somebody evidently captured a video then from a computer screen. And when I opened the report up and started looking at the information, well, I always tell people under Chuck that sometimes you got to turn over a lot of rocks before you find stuff. And the first thing that jumped out at me is the witness's name. I won't give because he said remain anonymous. But it was obviously it was fictitious because it was the name of a late astronaut. I'm like, I don't think he turned the report in. And when I looked at the phone to contact information, I'm like, that appears to be a business number, if you ask me, because it happened to have all threes in it. And that station it was on was Channel 3. So I thought, I'm going to call them up. So I called the station up. Tried talking to one of the news departments, and they just basically kind of blew me off. And they said, well, okay, we'll pass your name along. Thanks. Well, I called back later in the day and got a hold of the news department again, and somebody else answered the phone. And they put me online to one of the producers. And I said, you know, this was actually captured on one of your live cams. It may be nothing. But then again, it may be something I can't really say. And I said, what I'd really like to look at is your raw footage, because I'm guessing that this video was taken off a computer. And I said, I'd like to see your HD video, because that's what they were using. So they went ahead, called me back in 15 minutes. And they said, yeah, I said, we've got the live footage down here if you want to come down and look at it. So I drove down to the station. And before I went down there, I had also pulled any aircraft in the region because it happened about 6:20 in the morning. And the only thing that I found in the morning was one of their competitors' air traffic helicopters flying around the region. And I thought, well, if the station doesn't give me satisfaction, I'm going to call up their competition and see if they'll help me out identifying this. So when I went down to the station, they were very, very helpful. And also one thing we're looking at is a lot of comments posted online. I mean, people are looking at this YouTube video and somebody basically said that it looked like a drone, a black ops drone out there. There's billions of dollars being wasted on these things. That's what it took a picture of. Other people out there were saying it could be a little bit of anything from like a hand-launched missile. And even that was being suggested to me by some of the ones in MUFON. It could have been a hand-launched missile. But when I went down there, one of the things that somebody didn't realize, they said, well, nobody ever launched missiles in Cleveland. Well, during the Cold War, there are actually like three bases around Cleveland that had missiles, Nike missiles underground. And you can even find pictures of these sites all over the country. Now, most all of them are gone. The site's completely gone, except there is one around close to my house. But I knew it wasn't related to those. And when I went out to the network, they put me in front of this big 12x9 screen and said, describe what you're seeing. And they showed the original blurry video. And then they went back and they put the other video on and started playing it. And you could see it was actually much darker because whoever also posted the video online had lightened the video up. And when they showed their actual video started going, I'm like, oh, no. Here you can see this object rising up and going down. Then all of a sudden, Chuck, here you see this thing going sideways. And you see this beak of a seagull going right across in front of the camera. And I'm like, there's our UFO. But unfortunately, even when you post things like that, there's people out there that don't believe it. They think you're covering things up. And the reality is about 90-some percent of the sightings we come across most likely have an explanation behind them. In this case, I'm not going to tell people not to look at videos like this off of live cams and, you know, turn reports in, because who knows, we may find that one video that does capture something good on there. But I was very appreciative that the station helped me out, identify things on there. They were very helpful, cooperated, and gave me everything I needed. And also gave them about a one-minute story on television that night. Well, that was one thing I came across. Another thing I'm starting to research now, though, is a witness came out from an event that occurred about 45 years ago down in Missouri, in Pascagoula, to be exact. And the story involved a couple fishermen with missing time. And they're also claiming that back then they observed an alien. And that story's been around for years. And one of the things that you come across is finding other people giving additional information. Get as many witnesses as you can. The only thing that they had all those years was the story of primarily one of the witnesses. And one of the second witness is now dead. So only one of them is around to tell the story. But this afternoon, somebody else came out and said, yeah, there's actually two more people in the region that saw this object come down, that saw this object taking the fishermen. And they reported seeing one of the aliens out by the water. So I'm going to start digging more into this and finding out if it's actually a good story. Because I can picture other events like not only this one, but like you've got Roswell, all the witnesses are now gone. But here in Ohio, we've had some sightings over in Trumbull County by police officers, that there's some that never came out and came forward with their stories. But there's got to be other witnesses to these things that I hope will come forward. And this one was, it appeared to be a very, very good case. Were the fishermen involved missing time? They also were supposedly analyzed. They said instruments were taken to them to kind of examine their bodies. They were told they wouldn't be hurt, but then they were released afterwards. And one was too scared to talk about anything for years, and the other one did talk. Now the second one, after the first one was passed away, has actually put his own book out. And it's describing events going back then. So this is another story I'm going to be working on that I should have a lot more for you next month than on your check. So that's one thing in the background. Another thing that came out is History Channel ended their Project Blue Book, but one of the stories I've been talking on and off about your show about for the last year was the Pentagon situation, with the Pentagon admitting that they ran a UFO program back from 2007 to 2012. Well, now it's coming out that one of the individuals involved with that program, his name was Luis Elizondo. He was actually the manager of that program. He left and he got involved with a private individual by the name of Tom DeLonge, who is in a rock group called Blink 182. And this, Tom DeLonge has a passion for UFOs. Well, he's now gotten a number of other people involved, and they're starting to do research in this area. They're also going to have a show coming out, I guess it is in May, where they'll be going into this ATIP program. Now, they're kind of being sketchy right now on what's all going to come out. But what they're going to do is they're going to start presenting stuff on UFOs, the things that they've uncovered out there. And they're looking at the fact that our UFOs may be a threat to national security. And why aren't we looking more into these objects? So that's another one I'm going to have more information on here, hopefully, by the next show.
Well, but Thomas, thank you so much for this. And, you know, we will look forward to your updates on this in the next show. We have run out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. And thank you so much for being with us tonight.
No problem. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Mycoin, Yourcoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a letter in a Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From the Tin Man behind the curtain, we hear Trump's dead-on-arrival budget proposal to Congress is all about funding greater militarism and belligerence, along with serving corporate interests and high-net-worth households while gutting vital social programs. It's a proposal only Wall Street, the military-industrial security complex, big oil, and moneyed interests could love. Totaling $4.7 trillion, Trump wants an increase of $34 billion in war spending, euphemistically called defense, at a time sharp cuts are needed. Washington's only enemies are invented ones. No real ones exist. He wants $8.6 billion more for wall construction along the southern border with Mexico. His priorities include slashing Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, housing assistance, student loans, and other essential social programs, along with big cuts in environmental protection programs. He wants about $1.5 trillion cut from Medicaid spending in the next decade, $845 million less for Medicare over the same period, $25 billion from Social Security and disability spending, a 9% reduction in non-defense spending across the board, funds shifted to defense priorities, corporate handouts, and other initiatives benefiting high net worth households. Other proposed cuts over the next decade include $220 billion less for food stamps, $21 billion from temporary assistance for needy families, $207 billion less for student loans, along with billions more cut from housing assistance and other social programs. He broke virtually every positive promise made to ordinary Americans serving moneyed interests exclusively. His fiscal year 2020 budget proposal calls for more of the same, disdainful of the general welfare he doesn't give a hoot about. He wants funding for renewable energy initiatives slashed by 70%, from around $2.3 billion to $700 million. He favors eliminating the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy altogether, wanting energy innovation left entirely to the private sector at its discretion. According to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, each of the past two Trump budgets has targeted benefits and services for individuals and families of modest means for deep cuts, even as it has supported tax cuts conferring large new benefits on those at the top of the income scale, adding if his proposed fiscal year 2020 budget is enacted, these cuts would have increased poverty and hardship, leaving more people struggling to afford basics like food and rent. The type of society Trump and hardline ideologues in his regime favor is all about serving privileged interests exclusively, wanting ordinary Americans left on their own, sink or swim. Social safety net spending abolished in their ideal world. One way he aims to increase military spending for war making is by increasing a so-called overseas operations slush fund from $69 billion this year to $160 billion in 2020.
According to a senior regime official, his budget proposes more reductions in spending than any previous U.S. president in history, taking pride in what demands shame. A letter in the Boone's Farm Bottle of notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Tonight, the Moon Rock Lake Public Library, they will be reading from the best-selling book by Moon Rock Lake self-published author and dog catcher, Solomon Sendak, entitled Sweat, Global Warming in a Small Town and Other Tales of the Great American Eastern Middle West. An excerpt as kindly sent to us by Moon Rock Lake Public Librarian Doris Morris. Cold today. That's good, right? It's always good when it's cold because that means there's no global warming yet, right? Anyway, there was a town, Jennifer Junction, not too far from Moon Rock Lake, had a warming scare not too long ago. Stories all about the folks in Jennifer Junction. Tommy and Robert S. Thompson and the waitress and Carl with his college in his basement and Gutner and Jesse and the old people grain elevator casino and the radio station wanting everyone to wear sweatpants to stick a middle finger in the air to global warming. And then, sort of like the Lindbergh baby, well, sort of not, the Sox baby has been stolen, maybe by that Laverna, the woman at the bank drive-up, maybe by the Foods, who own Foods Foods, maybe not. Jesse and Carl are trying to capture the Foods because they think they took sweat socks. Gutner and Ron Waters in the light blue Robin's Egg blue pickup are chasing Steve, the incredible pizza dude, all around town because they think he took sweat socks. Things tend to get complicated quickly in a small town when you're not that used to complicated things. Anyway, let's get back to our story. Kind of steamy. Well, not like daytime TV. Like sweaty. Like hot and sweaty. Like moisture under your arms and other places. Sweat. Overall, ubiquitous, omnipresent, universal, global warming in a small town. About 100 degrees out here, 105 by the bank. I'm riding my bike, sweating like a pig. It's a stingray, they used to call them, about 100 years ago. My mom got it at a garage sale. I said, Dad, would get me a 20-speed. She said, your dad's not here. The bike's too small. She knows it. It makes her feel bad, I can tell, so I just shut up about it. 106. My shirt is wet. So is my face and arms. My breeze feels good, so I keep pounding. I have to mostly stand up to pedal or I'll knock myself out with my knees. I hit my nose once. I love summer. I like warm weather. Fall is cool, but it reminds me of school. I like snow, too, sometimes. The first snow is awesome. It's like you can't remember ever seeing snow before. I don't think it snowed last year. I'm not one of those who can tell you what the weather was like this time last year. I can tell you who won the NBA or baseball, but not the snow or rain, not so much. I've lived in Jennifer Junction my whole entire life. My name is Tommy. Tom. Thomas. Michael. Moskowitz. I used the whole thing at confirmation. Mom uses it sometimes. Tommy. I think I probably know everybody here. Maybe not the Mexicans who just got here. Maybe the last 3 months. Rest of them, I know them all. They all know me, too. I'd ask any of them if they know me. They'll probably say, yeah. I know Janice, who runs the homeless shelter. there aren't any homeless people in Jennifer Junction. Everybody's got a house, but Jan says it's her sacred calling. Her mother says she shouldn't throw her life away because there's no homeless here, but Jan says, get behind me, Satan. She's not going to hide her light under a 5-gallon bucket. Steve's a pizza dude. He's about 20, no, more than that. He's out of high school. Drove pizzas all through high school on his bike, but then his car. He likes it. That's what he told me. He lets me go with him sometimes. It gets pretty crazy when they get busy. 3-4 pizzas in the back seat. I might run one up to a house. He goes and does another and then come back to get me. I think people eat about as much around here in warm weather as in cold. You wouldn't think so. Known as the waitress babe, that's what Steve calls her. Her real name's Winona, but she says parents should not name their children after famous people. It's a burden to bear. She gives me free stuff. Well, not always. I've seen her without her shirt on. She doesn't even know it. Gutner's a city guy. There he is. Not the city guy. Like known as not the only waitress. There's Nina. But the one you see the most in the city truck. Blue pickup. It seemed blue. Ford. Maybe Chevy. I'm not great at cars. Gutner is his real name. His parents came here from somewhere. There's more people. A lot. You ever see how I can pull wheelies? Watch. Watch me. Watch. Well, good day. To allow me to introduce myself, my name is Robert. Robert S. Thompson. I will not be called Rob or Bobby. I've lived in this hamlet for nigh on 7 decades. I have all manner of relatives, friends, acquaintances, enemies, lovers. Up and down these lanes of drive, well as up and down both the Catholic and Lutheran as well as the Reformed cemeteries. Well, yeah, it's not a bad town. As compact towns go, I guess. I like sitting here. Suppose I'm an anomaly, quite the character. People who knew me in high school kind of wondered what happened. Well, hey, this is what happened. I do like to wear a suit. If necessary, a wool top coat. I enjoy observing and talking to whomever happens fast. We have a variety of benches in the town square. Not really a square. A stoplight and the four corners surrounding it. Well, that's a square. I'm retired from the food industry. For 31 years, and before that, I was a security guard at Krieger's. Then they laid off. I went to work at Lots of Food on 7th Street in Buffton. Cut meat. Stocked shelves, checked, unloaded trucks. Then the food took over. Well, nice Chinese couple. I have nothing against the Asiatics. It was just my time. It's Foo in the singular. They say that's like a Smith in China. I've never actually met a Smith, but they say it's a common name. I would not be one to disagree. I have met a Foo. The Foos, plural. Whether that apostrophe is correct, I could not say. They might be Korean or something. People just say Chinese. That seems to cover it. Oh, well, you know, if you're new here, you don't know about what's been going on. The radio station, KJEN, well, they started this promo. They're calling it the Great Global Warming Cover-Up. They're encouraging everyone to buy a pair of those gray sweatpants, now filling the front window and racks at Rick's Sporting Goods. The morning DJ, the guy who has the farm report, the school lunch report, the crossing guard live report, airport wind direction report. Oh, Ron, who's Rick's brother, older, I believe. Apparently, apparently does not believe in global warming. And in order to tweak the liberal noses of the UU crowd, he would like everyone to adopt sweatpants as the official attire, as it were. KJEN is quite unique, I would suppose. It's publicly funded by nickels dropped into two-liter Coke bottles at the Senex station on the highway. Sort of a cooperative, they might call it. They decide as a group by consensus when to poop and when to piss. I do not believe Rick to be one of the inner circle. They have your marimba moment every Sunday night at 8:10 sometime by the time they get it going, as well as Africa Hour, Pacific Rim Saturday morning, Cuba Libre Hour, LGBT Hour. It's all quite leading-edge stuff. One way to look at it, I would imagine, since 100% of the listeners live within 15 miles of town. So I've heard you can get the LGBT show on the western edge of Justin Junction. That's Friday noon. I would include Jake's Grill, so that'd be about 20 more. Yeah, but still. I've been reading in the paper that the People's Committee for Community Radio wants to find room in the schedule for a North of the Border Hour and South of the Border Hour to feature music from the North and South Poles, which I'm certain the cooks in the school cafeteria and the construction crew putting in the sidewalks on 7th Street will find a breath of fresh air. Jesse, our Minister of Fire, the lone member of the volunteer department, was the second to leap onto the sweat bandwagon. That's what I've learned. Guttner was the first. Those two compete quite viciously at most things. Quite the joiners, for one thing. There are no fires in Jennifer Junction. Not historically. It's just the way it is. Some towns have bowling alleys, some don't. Some have summer band concerts. In others, those band shells sit empty forever. Just the way it is. Different towns, different things, ways, more. Truck had to be turned over to the library for the bookmobile. It's quite hard on Jesse. He now runs the whole operation out of his 86 brown Honda Accord. He owns attachable magnetic signs that he slaps on the doors to haul the school children around in October during fire month. It's a difficult time for him, you can tell. Takes it quite stoically. Jesse's forever searching for talent, mining the church bulletins for new couples in town. They start out all excited and eager, and they all quit when they find out there are no fires, no equipment, no uniforms, and all they get to do is sit in Jesse's car in his mom's driveway once a month with the heater on and the windows up, signifying hot, practicing holding their breath. Or if there was a lot of smoke. Well, this Ron, actually, I've known him most of his life, ever since his family moved here from Jason Junction so his father could escape the immigrant Mongol horde, is how he termed. Been meaning to ask him how that's working out. Ron waters in the morning, clear waters, muddy, deep, shallow. You get it, depending on his mood, a gimmick, a strategy to get 1,700 people to tune in who would tune in if the only thing on was static. So accustomed are they to being team players. All the women played volleyball for Mrs. Sox, and all the men played basketball for Mr. Sox. And all the children are playing for the Sox as well as well, their children and their children's children, no doubt. Well, Ron, he and Rick, they're not twins, not that I recall. but they look incredibly alike with their thick black hair. Quite full. Ron graduated from JJHS. He was a starting guard for Mr. Sox in the Fighting Angus. He chose to attend Carl's Community College, as do a goodly number of local young people. Get some credits taken care of, save some money while deciding what to do with their lives. Something they and their parents might have considered in the previous 18 years, but I do also understand that these television shows are not just going to watch themselves either. CCC operates out of Carl Radish's home at the end of the cul-de-sac on Northwoods Document Drive. Carl was the principal of the middle school for years and years until tragedy struck. He was run over by the local Schwann's route driver. Both feet, actually. He was home for lunch. After he had a clandestine appointment with the Schwann's truck for frozen apple pies, pocket size. The driver was sitting in the truck doing logs, I guess, orders, what have you, the usual. Carl walked up, reached up, stepped up to the side window, one foot on the running board, and he slipped. Driver heard something, backed up to see if there was something by the truck, and he ran over Carl's foot and then the other one. Carl was sitting on the curb, both feet under the fully loaded Schwann's truck, in pure agony from what I've heard. Driver can't hear. He's got all that necessary refrigeration stuff running, and he doesn't see Carl around, so he decides to settle in and take lunch to wait. So Carl had a long time at home to sit with his feet up, bloated to the size of two Toyotas. He decided he was not going to spend the next 10 months watching The Price is Right. So he sends a wife downstairs with the set. Shutting it off would not have been sufficient, I guess. So she sweated and bled and ruined her knee getting that thing down the narrow wooden steps. He had to run down to the library with one of the kids' old toy wagons and her crutches to haul back loads of books so he could make use of this opportunity for growth. She became a para expert on many subjects and began teaching, offering courses in his basement, sectioned off into cubicles. He realized he knew more than most in town, especially with the daily discourse commonly centering upon America's funniest home videos and grass. It's a rather pedestrian, pessimistic way to look at it, but actually I think it motivated him to really put himself into his college. The school's motto, soon to be accredited, is on all the stationery and Carl's coffee cup. His personal license plate is STBA-098, for what it's worth. I went there myself to study Renaissance architecture. I never tried to transfer the hours, but I've never felt the time in Carl's basement was wasted. And in fact, I feel it broadened my worldview and gave me confidence and perception that my associates without post-secondary experience seemed to lack. In any case, I'm proceeding to Rick's myself after I complete my lunch here to get my sweat pantaloons. Global warming is a famous fraud promoted by wackos for whom knows who, what reason, and in my opinion, Ron says we can still wear whatever upper torso garments we wish, a t-shirt, pullover, cardigan, suit, jacket, what have you. The idea is conveyed quite adequately with the sweat gray bottoms, with the script Fighting Angus neatly portrayed on the hip. I fully agree. Good day to you. Please stop by again. I'm here most days. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats and journalists are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. And that just about wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. We hope you will be back next week and every week right here on Thursday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Revolution Radio Network. And remember, it's listener supported, so head on over to freedomslips.com and make your donation. Make it count. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Thanks, Chuck, for all you did to make this show happen, for all the interviews, all the technical stuff. Thanks to our guests, Jim Fetzer, Richard Flamer, Thomas Wortman, Philip Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, newdream.us, for the archives. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N magazine.us. Donations to the Chiapas Catholic Worker can be sent to the Chiapas Project, care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. Good night.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the